Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It is now the 8:30 hour, time for inspirational Bible study, words of wisdom, plain and simple. I am your host, Diane Adams, and I'm honored and privileged to come before you as we study the Word of God together tonight. I pray that each and every one of you had an awesome week and you received the things of God that you may have been asking for, and that you received some things you didn't even ask for, but God in His ultimate wisdom knew what you are in need of. Our lesson tonight is going to come from the book of Deuteronomy. You know, we've already did Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, which makes up the five books of law, which is also called the Law of Moses, and it is called the Pentateuch. And that's where we're going tonight. As well as we're going to reflect and think on the things that God is teaching us. Our title of the lesson is Disobedience Can Block Your Blessing. Disobedience can block your blessings. Right now I'm going to put on a song, and the title of the song is Our God is Awesome. And that's so true. I pray that you came to the Bible study with a spirit of expectancy, that you prayed to God for the success that you receive, and I, as the giver, receive a word from God as well. So what I'm going to do is play this song, and once the song is over, we're going to come back and go to the throne of grace in prayer, and we're going to explore the Word of God together. So listen to the song, and you be blessed.
Somebody lift your hand as we celebrate the greatness of our God. He's great and He's greatly to be praised. Our God is awesome. He can move mountains. Keep me in the valley. Hide me from the rain. Come on, our God is awesome. He heals me when I'm broken. His strength where I've been weak. Forever He'll reign. Say, my God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
He can move mountains.
He can move mountains.
Keep me in the valley.
Keep me in the valley.
Hide me from the rain.
Hide me from the rain.
My God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
He heals me when I'm broken.
Heals me when I'm broken.
Strength where I've been weak.
Strength where I've been weak.
Forever He'll reign. Come on, if you believe it, lift your voice and sing. Come on, if you know it's
awesome,
say. Come on and lift your voice.
Savior of the whole world,
giver of salvation,
by His stripes,
I'm healed. My God is awesome.
Today I am forgiven.
is why I'm living.
Somebody
ought to praise his holy name.
Come on and testify.
You know he's awesome. Say it.
Come on and lift your voice.
That was My God is Awesome. And I pray that you used that and got into the song with a expectation of God giving you his word and you giving him the praise which you were created for. God dwells in the praises of his people. It is now time to go to the throne of grace, and I'm asking if any one of you out there would like to lead us in prayer. Please press the one button on your phone, and if not, we'll go into prayer, and then we will explore the word of God together. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, here it is once more and again. Heavenly Father, we come to your throne of grace where you say we may obtain mercy. Heavenly Father, I'm just looking up towards you, the author and the finisher of our faith, dear God, and asking you to please have mercy upon each and every one of us. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your grace, and I thank you for your word, and I thank you for your son, and I thank you for your spirit. I thank you for being God all by yourself and having all power in your hands. I thank you, dear God, when you decide to do something for one of us, dear God, you don't have to go in consult. because you are totally in control. Heavenly Father, I pray for each and every one of us that is listening on the line tonight, or those who may be on the internet, dear God. Heavenly Father, bless them in the blessings that they're in need of. Lord, I realize that I'm only giving information, but it's the Holy Ghost that give illumination and revelation. Open up our ears, dear God, so we can truly hear what the Spirit has to say. Cleanse our heart, dear God, that we will not have nothing that will be blocking us from what you would want us to do, or what you would want us to say, or where you would want us to go. Circumcise our heart, dear God. Open up our ears that we could hear, our eyes that we could see. Order our steps in your word, dear God, that we don't stumble and fall. Lord, I thank you for being a way maker, a heart fixer, and a mind regulator. Lord, we're living in trying times, dear God, and we need you more than ever before. But, Lord, in your word, you say that you will never leave us nor forsake us. And, Lord, for that I say thank you. Heavenly Father, I'm asking that you look down upon the family of Miss Pauline Scott, dear God. They lost one of their loved ones, dear God. But I ask that you hold them in the palm of your hand and that you guide them through all of the things they need to go through, and you be right there with them in the midst of everything. Lord, I pray that you bless her, dear God. Heavenly Father, we know that naturally we grieve, but I ask that you take the process over, give her understanding and how to look at what has happened, dear God, and deliver her from any stripe, harm, or pain. Heavenly Father, I'm asking that you look down upon Sister Barbara Hawkins, dear God, Sister Benita Washington, dear God, Leonard Jones, dear God, all of these people, dear God, is having an issue with their health. But Lord, I know you say by your stripes, not that we will be healed, but we are healed. Heavenly Father, let them not suffer with pain, dear God. Ease their mind as they go through, dear God, the uncertainties of what can and maybe will happen. Let them know that you're right there with them, guiding them through. And Lord, I ask if anybody's having a financial blessing, dear God, that you turn it around. And anybody has broken relationship, dear God, I ask that you heal them, dear God. Heavenly Father, I ask that you take and just continue to bless us as you have been doing. Lord, we're going to be careful to give you the glory, honor, and praise. Lord, we can't make it without you, and because of you, we have strength. Because of you, we are righteous. Not that we do everything right, dear God, but your word tells us that we are made righteous when we accept your Son, and you shared your righteousness with us. And for that, I say thank you. I thank you, dear God, for all of our going out and our coming in and our protection, dear God. Help us and teach us how to sin less, that we could please you more. God, I'm going to be ever so careful to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory, because you're worthy. You have proven to us that you can stand alone, that nothing that has ever happened, will happen, was created or invented, cannot measure up to you. You're in a class all by yourself. And I thank you for being our God. Heavenly Father, I bless your holy name. And Lord, I pray that whatever the desires of the people are, they needs that they need from you. Because God, in your word, you teach us that we come to you because you do things for us that we can't do for ourselves. And I say thank you. Have mercy, dear God, upon each and every one of us. And I'm going to be so careful to give God the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Christ Jesus' name, amen, and thank God. Well, I see that some more callers has came into the studio. So I'll say again the title of the lesson, Disobedience Can Block Your Blessings. We coming from Deuteronomy 34. You see, in the book of Deuteronomy, and I'm going to give you some background, and as I said earlier, we have already expound on the book of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and now we're in Deuteronomy. I hope that you took the information that I give. You know, when we come together on Wednesday to do Bible study, there's no way that we could cover everything per se, like in the book of Genesis or any other book. We give some thought for you, and we hope it be enough. I hope that it's enough to prick your interest and that you go back and you study for yourself. Because you see, 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show yourself approved, a workman need not to be ashamed, to rightly divide the word of truth. And we have to stop just taking what someone tells us as truth. Search it for yourself, because it's the Holy Ghost's job to make it clear and let you know that it's the truth when he illuminates and revelate it for you. So tonight we're going to be in the book of Deuteronomy, and I'm going to give you some background on Deuteronomy, because the scripture that we're coming from is Deuteronomy, the 34th chapter. In the 34th chapter of Deuteronomy, it's the last chapter in Deuteronomy. So I'm going to take this time and just ride from the first and go all the way through and lead up to the last chapter, if it's all right with you. You see, in the book of Deuteronomy, it's a book where Moses repeated. And not only did he repeat, but he interpreted the instructions he had already delivered to the Israelites once again before his death and before the people would enter the promised land. You see, a new generation of Israelites was about to enter the promised land. This multitude had not experienced the miracles of the Passover, the parting of the Red Sea, bread from heaven, meat from the skies, or water from the rock. They didn't see all of the walls and the victories of their oppressors, or heard the laws given the first time at Mount Sinai. And they were about to enter the new land, and it had many dangers and temptations. You see, the book of Deuteronomy was given to remind them of God's law and God's power. Well, I said all of that to say, you know, when you look at the word Deuteronomy, the first part of it, D-E-U-T, do, it means to. In the book of Deuteronomy, it's like the repeat of what has been said. It's called the second law. And Moses take time to interpret some things because the new generation wasn't familiar with it. You see, the Israelites are commanded to remember four things. And this would be good for us, too. You got to remember everything that the Bible has in it. It wasn't just for them. It's also for you, because it's real. It's living. It's a living word. It's constant. So the things that he told them, God, he told them to remember four things about God, and I'm asking you to do the same thing tonight. He wants them to remember that God is faithful. Then he wanted them to remember God's holiness. He wanted them to remember God's blessings. And finally, he wants them to know God's warnings. You see, the book of Deuteronomy was given to the new generation that was unfamiliar with the experience at Mount Sinai when the laws was first given. You see, the new generation had arrived on the banks of the Jordan River. And look at this. It was about 1 month before they would enter the promised land. Now, remember, this new generation all were born in the wilderness. And they had to wander with everybody else for 40 years before they could enter. And now they right there at the east bank of the Jordan River. It's 1 month left, and they would enter the promised land. You see, the adults of the generation which had left Egypt with Moses was dead, and their bones were all covered beneath the desert skies, hallelujah, buried in the sand, in other words, because of their unbelief and disobedience. You see, they had broken God's law, you see. And when they did that, these were sins of commission. And they had failed to believe God, which were sins of omission. Hallelujah. You see, the law was weak through the flesh. It was the flesh that was the problem. Excuse. And flesh is still a problem today. Hallelujah. Because you see, sin dwells in the flesh. You know, we are made of flesh. But if we accepted Christ, we now have God's spirit living in us. You have to know that there's a war between your flesh and your spirit. And you have to know that the things that does not please God never comes out of your spirit, but it is formulated within your flesh. Let's understand one thing. The law is good. We've been talking about the law all this month, and the law and the sacrifices and the commandments and the rules and the regulations. And we know now, because of Christ Jesus coming, we're not living under the law, but we are now living under grace. But I emphasize and I overemphasize the fact that the law never had the ability to remove sin, only cover the sin temporarily. That's why they had to keep sacrificing over and over. You see, but oh God, my God, couldn't save us by the law. But it doesn't imply that the law is not good. The law has its place. You see, the law was temporal. Hallelujah. Remember this. But grace is eternal. God did a new thing. That's why there's an Old Testament and there's a New Testament. And God could do that because he's God. But in him doing that, he was looking out for you and for me. You know, when I read in a book all of them sacrifices and how you had to get the bull and then you had to get the skin off and then you had to do something with the legs and then you had to do something else and you had to go outside and you had to wash yourself and you come back inside and you did something else and then you had to wash your hands and then you had to come back and you had to cut the bull up and you had to put so much on the altar and you had to wrap, you know, give the rest of it to the priest and you had to do this and then, you know, if you touch something you shouldn't have, you had to stay. You know, you wasn't going to be clean again till evening time. And I read on and on and on and on. And all I could say is, thank God for Jesus. Hallelujah. You see, this is the reason God had an altogether different plan on which he saved us. You know, if you look in your Bible in Ephesians, the second chapter, the eighth, in the ninth verse, it says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. not of works, lest any man boast. You know, God is not going to let nothing go down where you're going to have the opportunity to boast, where you could say, I, me, me, me. Now, that don't mean people is not going to say, I, and me, 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 but they don't have nothing to base it on. That, you know, and it turns into pride, and they puffed up, you know, because they say all things through Christ Jesus. Come on, y'all. He said, lest any man. You see, if God would allow you to receive salvation by anything you could do, then you could boast. But God wants us to know that it's all about him and his love towards us. Come on now. God is not trying to have the big head, because God is the one. God not trying to make himself look good, but he wants you to know he's in control. And all these things he's going to extend towards you because of his love for you. You see, the book of Deuteronomy teaches that obedience is man's response to God's love. And all of the problems that we face many times, it lies within us. I'm going to give you this little breakdown now, because if you truly want to know for yourself the different things in Deuteronomy, I hope this part I give you now, you'll be able to do that. You see, the first three chapters recap the trip from Egypt to the current location, Moab. Chapter 4 is a call to obedience to the God who was faithful to them. Chapter 5 through 36 is where Moses repeats the law. Do mean to, repeating them the second time, and now with more emphasis and interpretation, because he's teaching the new generation. You see, between the fifth and the sixth chapter, he talks about the Ten Commandments and the laws concerning sacrifices and special days, you know, like the day of the Passover, the Feast of Weeks, and the ones that God had commanded them to keep doing, and the rest of the law. And the rest of the laws was given to the new generation. That's the 5th through the 26th. You see, blessing and promises to those who obey, you're going to find it in there. And then you're going to see the famine is promised to those who break the law in 11th chapter. And then they have the themes of blessing and cursing. That's a good one. It's going to be in chapter 27 and 30. You see, this portion of the book ends with a clear choice set before Israel. And this is what God said. I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. God's desire for his people is found in what he commanded. And he simply said, choose life. You see, in the final chapter, which is the 34th chapter, which we're going to study tonight, Moses encourages the people, commission his replacement, Joshua, record a song, and give a final blessing to each of the 12 tribes of Israel. Chapter 34 relates to the circumstances of Moses' death. And for those who have your Bible, I pray that you turn to the 34th chapter. And right now, I'm going to do the first through the fourth verse. So have your Bibles, get to Deuteronomy, and I'm going to read the first through the fourth verse. I pray that you're there. And the scripture reads as follows. And Moses went up from the plains of Moab unto the mountains of Nebo, to the top of the Pisgah that is over against Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead unto Dan, and all Nephthah, and the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, and all the land of Judah unto the uttermost sea, and the south of the plain of Jericho, the city of palm trees and Zoar. And the Lord said unto him, watch this, y'all. This is the land I sware unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, saying, I will give unto thy seed. I have caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over hither. This is God talking to Moses. God had brought Moses on a mountain where Moses was going to die. God allowed him to see all of the land that he had promised and that he was going to deliver. See, if God promised you something, he's going to deliver, but he do it in his own time, his own season, and with his own reasons. Moses was going up here because he wasn't going to see the promised land, but God allowed him. He wasn't going to go into the promised land, but God now is allowing him to see it. I'm sure that was a hard thing for Moses, but we're going to go and we're going to look at it just a little bit closer, and we're going to come out with some other realization that God is in control. You see, these scriptures lets us know that no sin could be unpunished. You see, Moses wasn't getting to the promised land because of his disobedience and the sin that he had caused. I think everybody know a little bit about that, and we're going to go and we're going to explain it a little more. You see, when we look at the life of Moses, we see that God loved him. Now, these scriptures lets us know, the 34th chapter, the first through the fourth verse, let us know that even though Moses delivered the children out of Egypt, and Moses toyed with them in the promised land, and Moses wandered right with them for 40 years, they're 1 month away from going to the promised land, and God brings them on a hill to die, well, a mountain to die. But I want to let you know that if you really look at Moses' life, there's no guessing in the game that God loved Moses. You see, God allowed him to write the first 5 books in the Bible, which is called the Law of Moses. Hallelujah. You see, God saved his life when he was born and placed him in a Nile River when Pharaoh wanted to kill all of the Hebrew boys. Come on now. You see, this is an example of God making your enemy your footstool. And it lets us know that what the devil set up for bad, God can turn it around for the good. You see, God then softened Pharaoh's daughter's heart, and she took Moses in as her own. How you like that? An Egyptian taking a Hebrew child, and the Hebrews were supposed to be killed. And he comes up out of the water, Pharaoh wanting him all dead. She seems she take him as her own. Come on, see the hand of God working in behalf of Moses. You see, God also allowed Moses' own mother to come and nurse him and teach him knowledge of his heritage and the love for his people. That was something. And she taught him well enough that the 40 years he was in Pharaoh's court, it couldn't erase what his mother had taught and given him. You see, Moses was the only man who ever saw God face to face. I hope I'm setting it up where you know Moses on the mountain and he fixing to die for his disobedience, but I'm showing you how God loved him, and we could build up the story. God, Moses was the only person that saw God face to face. You see, he was called Israel's greatest prophet. God chose Moses before the foundation of the world, and it was all a part of his master plan. What God has for you is for you. God says in Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans I have for you. And if you go over to Psalms 139, he said, you see, when you was in your mother's womb, I took and put all of your innermost parts in there, your organs and stuff. He said, when I got through with that, I covered you with my own hands in your mother's womb. I know the number of hairs you have on your head, and I guarantee you an expected end. You know, God wants us to know we are created for a purpose, for a reason, and for a season. You see, God was always with Moses. To understand now the reason why Moses couldn't enter the promised land, we have to revisit the book of Numbers. That's why I asked you guys who could read Numbers 20. You see, if you went to Numbers and you went to the 20th chapter in Numbers 20th chapter, the 8th verse, you'll see that the Lord told Moses, he was giving him a command. He said, take the staff, and you and your brother Aaron gather the assembly together. Speak to the rocks before their eyes, and it will pour out water. You see, the people was grumbling, and they were mumbling, and they every time they wasn't getting what they want because of their selfishness. You know, they forgot about all God has done for them, and that's how we do sometimes in our lives. You see, they had forgot about all of that, and all they wanted was water. And they went to Moses. So Moses would always, when the people went to Moses, Moses would go to God before, on behalf of the people, and God would tell Moses what to do for the people. So God had given him instructions, and that's the instructions I read. And since I went on, I'm going to read it to you again. God told Moses, this is Numbers 20:8. He said, take the staff, and you and your brother Aaron gather the assembly together. God told him to speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will pour out water. You will bring water out of the rock for the community so that they and their livestock would drink. You see, when the water was running out, they always drew the trump card, trying to do a trump card on God. Did you bring us for Egypt to die in the wilderness of thirst and all of our cattle? And that's what they had been telling him before that. And Moses went to God, and God told him, you're going to give them water for them and their livestock. And then Numbers to the 9th and then through the 11th verse records Moses' response. That's what God told him to do, and this is what Moses responded. So Moses took the staff from the presence of God, just as he had commanded him. He and Aaron gathered the assembly together in front of the rock, and Moses said to them, listen, you rebellious, must we bring you water out this rock? You see, they was getting on Moses' last nerve. You know how God has given you some assignments to deal with some people, maybe in the church house, I don't know. Anyway, and the people are just so unreasonable, so grumpy, and they could get on your nerves. But I'm going to tell you this, never let them get on your nerves where to cause you to sin. See, Moses listened to all they were saying, and he even talked about how they were acting. And then he said, you want water out of this rock. But you see, this is where the problem begins. Then Moses raised his arm and struck the rock twice with his staff. Yes, water gushed out, and the community and their livestock drank. But the Lord was displeased with Moses' action. And God told him, because you did not trust me enough to honor me as holy in the sight of the Israelites, you will not bring this community into the land I have given thee. You know, I know most of us heard the story of Moses hitting a rock instead of speaking to the rock, but it ain't nothing like reading it in a Bible for yourself. And that's the reason why Moses didn't get to the promised land. And then even with that and all that Moses had done for God and Moses had done in the name of God and done for God and listened to God, and this was an act of a disobedience and it was a sin. Some may wonder, what did Moses, you know, why did this thing that Moses did warrant such a severe penalty from the Lord? But this is it. First, Moses disobeyed a direct command. God asked him to speak. Moses struck. Second, Moses took the credit. Now, this is a bad one. Because God ain't going to share none of his credit with nobody. You see, Moses took the credit of bringing forth the water. Notice how in verse 10 Moses said, must we, talking about him and Aaron, bring you water out of this rock? Must we? See that I and we and ours? It'll get you messed up every time. You see, Moses took credit for the miracle himself instead of attributing it to God. God will not share his glory, his honor, or his praise. And third, Moses committed this sin in front of all the Israelites. Such a public example of direct disobedience could not go unpunished. This lets us know that none of us is above God's law. Even Moses, the leader, the prophet chosen by God, was required to obey, and he didn't, and he had consequences for his actions. You see, and that was in the Old Testament and with the law, and all of that, but I want to let you know tonight, you know, Jesus died for our sins. The scripture teaches us that once we are saved, we are saved. Hallelujah. So people are telling me, Sister Diane, sometimes you seem like you talk teaching a lesson where you could get saved and then live any kind of way and be all right with God and you're going to reach salvation. If you got saved in the first place, the right way. If you're saved, you're saved. Now, I can't look at your heart, and I can't judge when you accepted Christ, did you do it with your whole heart. But I could tell you this, if you did, Jesus said, look, I died, I took away the sins of the world, your sins from the past, the sins you commit now, and the ones you're going to commit. He said, I got that. I promise you that. He said, but you're going to have to answer you're going to have to deal with the consequences of your sin. See, sin has consequences attached to it. You know, because Jesus died for our sins, he's taking that away. Because God says when he looks at us, he can only see his son. But there's consequences. Check it out. You know what I'm talking about. And Jesus took away your sins, but you have to live with your consequences. Hallelujah. We're going to go to the 5th, the 6th, the 7th, and the 8th verse. And the scripture reads as follows. So Moses, the servant of God, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he, talking about God, buried him in a valley in the land of Moab against the Bert-Piro. But no man knows his sepulcher, which is his grave, until this day. So you see, if someone come on national TV and say they found Moses' grave, I mean, you could look at it for entertainment. You could bust out laughing or you could click the TV off. Because God say no one will find Moses' grave until this day. And even though the word of God was written so many years ago, when he said until this day, and I say that with my mouth, I'm talking about right now, this day, February the 2nd, 2017. That's when the Bible say until this day, that's what it means. And you see number 7 say that Moses was 120 years old, hallelujah, when he died. His eyes were not dim, nor his natural force abate. Moses was a strong man at 120. That's what the scripture is telling us. And the children, 9:8, and the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plain of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and moaning for Moses had just ended. I'm going to give you a little glimpse at Moses, and we're going to look at that 120 years. You see, the first 40 years of his life was spent in Egypt. Remember, the daughter got him out the water, took him as her own. He was raised in the king's palace, in Pharaoh's palace, had everything he needed. Come on now, y'all. The devil set it up for the bad, but God turned it around for the good. He is a liar. He wore the best. He ate the best. He had servants. Come on, y'all. He was like the Pharaoh's grandson with all privileges. You see, the first 40 years he was in Egypt, learning first from his mother. His mother was allowed to be him for about with 12 years. She taught him Moses. She taught Moses who he really was. He was an Egyptian. He was an Israelite. Come on, y'all. God's going to set it up and give you everything you need to get to the right place where you need to go. And then and he was learning the skills he needed to be a leader and how he would have to rule over many. You know, they say wherever God guides, he provides, and he never give you a tax without giving you the provisions to perform it. And we see this happening now. You see, when Moses was about 40, he saw one of his own people being beaten, and he tried to take things in his own hand, and he killed the Egyptian. And because of this impulsive act, he had to flee from Egypt and from Pharaoh. Now, y'all watch this. See, Moses got everything he needed from Egypt. He got everything he needed from Pharaoh. He got everything he needed from his mother. Hallelujah. You see, then the next 40 years, he fled from Egypt and he went and he took a job as a shepherd for Jethro, who gonna become his father-in-law in Midian. And he shepherded the sheep for 40 years. So that's the next 40. So he started out with the first 40 in Egypt, and now we see the second 40 years, and he a shepherd handling sheep. You see, watch this. God needed to teach Moses patience and trust. You see, working with the sheep day by day taught him both. You gotta look at what some of the things God is asking you to do. You know, you might not understand it now, but he's working it all out together for the good, that your purpose may be fulfilled. And you can, with your life, give him glory. You You see, because of working with them sheep for all of those years, because you see, when he came out of Pharaoh with the first 40 years, he was probably cocky. He probably had a big head and was full with some pride. But you see, as I said earlier, before the foundation of the world, God had chosen him. And God allowed us to go through to people, places, and things for his reason. So when Moses fled from Egypt, from Pharaoh's house, he probably had some of these characteristics and attributes, and you can understand why. But God then put him in a field with the sheep. Hallelujah. This, the Bible said that Moses became the meekest man on earth. The meekest man on earth, which is in the book of Numbers as well. You see, when we take a closer look at Moses' life, we see that God had a purpose for his life. And the hands of God was with him every step of the way. The first 40 years he was in Egypt. The second 40 years he was with the sheep, becoming a good shepherd. Watch this. In the next 40 years he wandered in the wilderness with the Israelites. And you know, when we taught the lesson the other time, they said they had 603 thousands of them. And see, he had learned how to lead. He had dealt with unagreeable sheep. Come on now, God is teaching him. He went to the school of God. So 40 years, Egypt, 40 years with sheep, and 40 years leading the Israelites out of Egypt. That's Moses' 120 years, if you ever wondered. You see, many times in our lives, we feel like we are going through. But plenty time, it's only God bringing us to. You see, he uses all of our life experiences to mold and shape us into his intended purpose for our lives. You see, Moses was in good shape for a man his year. Why? Because God was sustaining him. He had just walked 40 years in the desert. The Bible say their feet never got swollen, their clothes never wore out. Hallelujah. Come on, y'all. Because God was sustaining him. And even with him dying and not getting to the promised land and being in a good health, I'ma just throw this in for laying ya. Because Genesis 6:3 said, then the Lord said, my spirit will not content with humans forever, for they are mortal. Their days will be numbered to 120. Come on, y'all. So if that was numbered to 120, Moses had lived his promise. Like we today are trying to say, can we get to 70. Moses was right at the promise. God had shortened the time after the flood, how long man would live. And it said that God buried him with his own hands. And if we look at verses 9, 10, 11, and 12, our last verses. And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom. For Moses had laid his hand upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him, and did as God commanded Moses. And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like Moses. There'll never be another Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. Moses got a lot of props. Yeah, he died. He didn't get to the promised land. But God is working it out. He worked it out, and God's will is going to be done. Let's not get it twisted. You see, in all the signs and the wonders, I'm at verse 11, which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh and to all of his servants and to all his land, and in all the mighty hands and in all the great terror which Moses showed in the sight of Israel. They was talking just there how God had gave Joshua, who would take over after Moses, told Moses to give him instruction, and God gave Joshua, you know, wisdom and a spirit. You see, Moses gave the law. Watch this, y'all. But Joshua came to give rest. That's why they say Joshua is like a Jesus, because you see, the law was one thing, and Joshua led out of bondage of sin to the promised land. No, let's say that again. Moses gave the law, but Joshua will give rest. You see, and when Jesus came, is a representation of rest. We would no more be bound under the slavery of sin. You see, they was under slavery of the Egyptians, but we, because of our sin nature from Adam, we were under the bondage of sin until Jesus delivered us. That's what I was trying to say. Now, Joshua's assignment and his purpose will take over. Moses' season had ended, and Joshua is about to begin. God now sets him up to succeed. He and the people know that God would be with Jacob. God gave him signs, and God let him know, and Moses put his hand on Joshua's head. You see, God ain't going to set you and give you no job to do where you're going to fail. That's what Satan do. Satan set you up for failure. And then when you fall, he walk away. You see, God gave him a full spirit of wisdom, and Moses laid his hands on him, so the children of Israel accepted him. God never set you up to fail, as I said, and where he guides you, he also provides. And we might still be a little heartened in our heart, because Moses didn't get the promised land, but there's a scripture in Corinthians that say, So then neither he that planted, catch this, y'all, anything, neither he that watered, but God that gives the increase. You know, God set you up for one thing, and he set somebody up for another thing. But you see, it all worked together for the good. Take what God gives you. You know, you might not have 120 years. You might not have 70. But however many you have, you better believe it was enough, because God is the God of enoughness. You know, Moses had honor that will never fade away. Even tonight, our study is about Moses. What a great reward God had given him. God has a purpose and an intended purpose for our lives. You know, we have to look at it as being one body with many members. No big eyes, no little U's. Everybody being in a rightful place, doing what they rightly need to do so that it can function well. Yes, somebody might get promoted over you. That don't mean they're better than you. And God might have moved you out the way for them, for their blessing, and he have a blessing somewhere else for you. What you have to do is find your purpose and do it well, because when it's over, it is over. And as I close tonight, Moses' life is still speaking to us today. He let his light so shine. No one is perfect. And God said it in so many words. And these words I'm saying, God said to Moses, is what we all should strive for God to say about us. My good and faithful servant, well done. And as I close, let us know that God was with Moses every step of the way, in life and death as well. And that's how God is with you. Every step you make, every move you take, God is with you, and he promised that he will see you through. That's our lesson for tonight. I pray that your heart was blessed. We did the first five books of the law, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. I pray and I hope that it sparked your interest enough where you could go and read it for yourself. Don't just take what someone says. If anyone would like to have a prayer request, if anyone would like for us to pray for someone, as I said earlier when I was praying, one of our Wednesday night Bible study sister's brother died, Sister Pauline Scott, her brother died, and I'm asking y'all to please lift the family and Sister Pauline up in prayer. Sister Pauline is a faithful Wednesday night Bible study person. I love her so much, and I pray because we all decided long time ago that we will pray for one another. Lift her up. Lift her family up. Because that's what the body of Christ should do for one another. If anybody would like to pray, if anybody would like to leave us out in prayer, if not, it is now 9:30. I'm going to, well, the clock say 32, but it's about 9:30. I will now do a short prayer and a benediction. And that be our programs for tonight. And if we follow the trend that we was following, on next week we will be in the book of Joshua. And it's the same Joshua I told you that God lift up to be Moses' successor. And we know that God has given him a spirit of wisdom. And God let the people know that Joshua would be the next one. I thank God for Moses, and I thank God equally for Joshua. God has a master plan. There's a reason and a season. I have a caller. Your call, your number is 985-774. Your mic is open.
Hi, I'm so sorry I missed your program. I have been sick lately, so pray for me and my family and my boys. This is Miss Diane. I just want to say thank you. I only got 5 minutes of your class tonight. Thank you, Sister Diane. Even the 5 minutes I treasured. Thank you. I will go back and read everything. I just want to lift everybody up and say, and lift you up especially, and say thank you. For your teaching, for the Holy Ghost being in you to teach us, just for God and Jesus Christ to be with us right now is a blessing. Being within us is a miracle. I don't know what else to say. I just woke up. I missed a message. I've been ill, like I said, but I just love this Bible study. And Sister Diane, I pray for you to continue teaching, and I pray for you to reach out to everyone across this nation, because you're teaching extremely well. But besides that, I just want everybody here to know that how much I love you and I love this group of women. And I think at one time there was a man or two. But and I want everybody to be blessed. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Sister McBride. Sister Diane McBride. So continue to pray for Sister McBride, her sons, and her grandson. Remember Pauline Scott and her family with the death of her brother. God wants us to go to his throne of grace for one another. That is our job and our responsibility. And when you do it, you give God praise. I have another caller. Caller, your number is 504-231-93. Your mic is open.
Good evening. I'm going to be brief. This is Minister Parker. I enjoyed the lesson once again. It was very, and it's always very refreshing to hear you teach the word. So just keep doing what you're doing, and God be praised. People be blessed.
Thank you so much, Sister Parker, for those words of encouragement and just coming on the air. I'm going to just say this because I don't want us to be long. This is not my Bible study. This is all of our Bible study, and we have to elevate it to another level. You know, I don't have to say everything. I don't know everything. You know, you could join in with a song. You could say, let me pray for this month. You could say, let me end with a prayer this month. You know, you could say, let me just give a little bit on a lesson this month. This is our Bible study, and God wants all of us to share the word of God. And one of our other Bible study members, daughter is having a health issue in Atlanta. So, Sister Sandra, I'm asking that you guys, along with Sister Pauline and Sister McBride's sons and grandsons, and now Miss Sandra, daughter in Atlanta, lift her up. That's not too hard to do. We have to get in the mode of praying for others. So that's our program tonight. And I just want to leave you with this, the benediction. I ask that you please grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And God be with you until we meet again. That scripture came out of 2 Peter 3:18. See, and I'm fixing to start teaching another lesson, so I know I got to get off the phone. That's another lesson for another day. But I want you to know that God loves you. And so do I, and I thank God for each and every one of you. And I thank you for calling week after week. And that makes me realize that it's a God thing and not a Diane thing. So to each and every one of you, I just want to say good night and be blessed.